الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله وإن فسدت فسد سائر عمله أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and has created the entire universe. Everything being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally subservient to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it fulfills the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. The moon being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is moving under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is totally obedient and subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَكَ الْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. The stars, the clouds, the trees, the planets, everything has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all have been given a task and a duty to do. They have been created for a purpose. And they're all fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. This human being, you and I, insan, Bani Adam, the children of Adam, we are also the makhluk and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created us for a purpose, an object. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That do you think that we have created you in vain, without any purpose? You know, like an animal that is living in the jungle, or any animal, or any insect for that matter, whether it is some lion, or whether it is some a cow, whether it is some fly or mosquito, or a fish in a sea, what is their object? That how I can get the best food, how I can get the best shelter, how I can fulfill my desires, how I can protect my young and see to the upbringing, and see to the future. And then he grows old, and that's the end, and he dies, the animal dies. But it is a lion in the jungle, has the same object. How I can get the best food, how I can get the best shelter, how I can get the best spouse and fulfill my desires, and how I can protect my young, and see that they are protected, and nobody harms them, and see to the future. And then the lion grows old and he dies. Now we have to ask ourselves, is this my object of life? Have I been created for this? Is this the be-all and end-all of my life? That how I can get the best food? How I can get the best home, most comfortable home, most luxurious home? How I can see to the upbringing of my children and the future of my children and the education of my children? And then I will grow old and I will die and the cycle will continue. Is this why I have come into this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقُ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ That I have not created this jinn, an insan. Insan meaning you and I, human beings. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Except to worship me. Except to worship me. Except to come into the bandagi and the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for His ibadat, to worship Him. And the greatest worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ The first thing a person will be taken to task for on the day of Qiyamah will be regarding his namaz, regarding his salah. The closest a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person is in sujood and sajda, in salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift of salah, this command of salah. And this ibadah is the greatest ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, the first thing a person will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah will be regarding his salah, will be about his salah. فَإِن صَلُحَتْ فَقَدْ أَنْجَحَ وَأَفْلَحَ And if a person passes this first test regarding his namaz, the first questions regarding his namaz, then this person has passed. And he will be successful. This person has passed the test, and he will be successful. وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ And if he fails this first test, then this person is heading for trouble. This person is going to be unsuccessful. You know, like in exams, they tell you that if you pass these subjects, you pass maths, English, one or other subject, main subjects, then the rest, you will pass the exam. But if you fail, you can get the best of marks in all other subjects. But if you fail maths or you fail English, you fail the main test, then you will fail. Likewise, on the day of Qiyamah, the first thing a person will be questioned, will be regarding his namaz. So this is how important namaz is. Namaz is like a head in a body. We have seen people without legs. The legs have been amputated. Somebody one leg, somebody two legs. Some people one hand, two hands. Some people all four limbs, all legs, and all the hands have been amputated. But they're still alive. They're still moving around on a wheelchair, whatever, they're still talking, they're still alive. But have you seen a person without a head? A person without a head is not alive anymore. He's not a living being. So salah in Islam, namaz in a person's life, is like the head in a body. And it all starts from wudu. It all starts from wudu. When a person makes wudu, when he washes his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us many of the hadith, when a person makes wudu properly, and when he washes his hands, then all that sins are committed by his hands come out from his hands, and they will fall out, explain that the sins come out from his hands from under his fingernails. He washes his face, then all his sins are forgiven. Those committed by his eyes in looking at evil. In one narration, when he makes basa of his head and his ears, then those sins that have been committed by him thinking of evil leave his body. And when basa of the ears, those sins that he committed by listening to evil, those leave his body. When he washes his feet, those sins committed by his feet, those leave his body. In this hadith, فَأَصْبَغَ لَهُ وُضُوءَهُ. That person who performed his wudu properly. In where the virtues of salah are mentioned, many hadiths where the virtues of salah are mentioned, this comes first. That person who makes his wudu properly, and then performs his salah, or then goes to a masjid. So the first, before a person even starts his namaz, it starts with wudu. And ulama mentioned that one of the important aspects of wudu is water, the amount of water that we use. The person wastes water in his wudu, that this has a direct impact on his salah, and the reward of his salah. And that person who uses water sparingly, but washes properly, even though the water may be cold, is ba'ul wudu'i ala al-makari. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the great rewards for that person who makes wudu, even though it is difficult. He may not have hot water available, maybe a very cold day, and he has to make wudu with cold water. Sometimes a person is traveling somewhere, and the weather is very, very cold, there is no hot water available. He makes wudu with ice cold water. Then tremendous rewards have been mentioned for that person who is baghul wudu al makari, who makes wudu properly despite it being difficult to do so. Then, respected brothers, one is the aspect of wudu. Then walking and coming to the masjid. That person who makes wudu properly, and then he walks to the masjid, for every step that he takes, one sin is forgiven, and one stage of his is raised in Jannah. Today it has become the norm that we leave last minute, we jump in our cars, and we come to a masjid just as namaz is about to start. Yes, those people who are elderly, who are sick, who are disabled, who are not able to walk to a masjid, then they are excused. But those of us who are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability, the strength, that we are able to walk to a masjid, alhamdulillah, in our locality, we have 3 masajid, and every person is within 5 to 7, maximum 10 minutes walking distance from the masjid, no matter how far it stays from the masjid. So all of us should try. This is a matter of timing ourselves, preparing ourselves, leaving our home a few minutes earlier, and walk to the masjid to get this tremendous reward. One hadith it comes, that person gets the greatest reward who lives furthest away from the masjid and comes walking to the masjid. Then the second person who gets, the second person with the most amount of reward is that person who lives a little bit closer than him to the masjid, and he walks to the masjid, and it continues like that. Once a tribe, Banu Salima, they used to live far away from the masjid, the entire tribe, their houses were far away from the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So some land became available closer to the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they intended to purchase that land and build their homes closer to the masjid. Obviously, to be closer to the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make it easier to come to the masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became aware of this, and he called them. And he said, I've heard that this is what you are planning to do. You are planning to move your homes closer to the masjid. They said, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we are intending to do. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, Diyarakum tuktab asarukum. Diyarakum tuktab asarukum. That stay where you are. Remain where you are. Remain where you are, because every step that you take is written for in your book of good deeds. Remain where you are, because every time you walk to a masjid, you are staying further away from the masjid now. So you are getting a chance to get more reward. For every step that you take, you are being rewarded for this. Then, respected brothers, one is the performance of our namaz. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that thing that differentiates between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, a Muslim and a kafir, is namaz. That which differentiates between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is namaz. That is why some Sahaba, great Sahaba like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu, great ulama and fuqaha like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, they are of the opinion that that person who leaves out namaz, he becomes a disbeliever, and he leaves the fold of Islam. Although the majority of the ulama do not hold this view, they say that person is really on the borders now of Islam, but we are still regard him as a Muslim as long as he does not reject the namaz is farz upon him. But respectful, this is how serious leaving out of namaz is. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, "Man fatathu salatun, فَكَأَنَّمَا غُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ." That person who misses one salah misses him. فَكَأَنَّمَا غُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. It is as if he had lost all his wealth, all his belongings. Everything has been destroyed. A person, some fire happens, a person's whole house it burns down. Not only his whole house, all his family that were inside, they all perish and all pass away. How much will we sympathize with that person? How much will we, our hearts hurt and pain for that person? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person who misses out one salah, it is as if he has lost all his wealth and all his property. So, respected brothers, this namaz is a very, very important part of a Muslim's life. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that that person who performs his salah, that person who is punctual to his salah, makes his wuzu properly, and guards his salah, and performs his salah properly, then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into Jannat. Who doesn't want to go into Jannat, respected brothers? That person who guards his salah, makes wuzu properly, performs his salah properly, guards his salah, then that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into Jannat. And that person who does not guard his salah, does not perform his salah properly, or doesn't perform his salah, then there is no such guarantee for him. So, respected brothers, our five time daily salah, one is the salah has to be performed. And then that salah for males has to be performed in a masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that salatul fadli, salatul jama'ati, afdalu. That person who performs his salah with jama'at, he is rewarded 27 times more than that person who performs his salah at home, or performs his salah alone. One is a person who reads his namaz, the obligation will be fulfilled, but his salah will be totally deficient if he does not perform it in a masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in masjid, with masajid, respected brothers. It's a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that for a few months, when it was difficult for people to come to the masjid, when we were commanded to close the masjid, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a famous saying in Arabic, "An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat." You only realize the value of something when you lose it. Respected brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we have masajid, we are able to come to the masajid. Let us take this opportunity to walk to the masjid, to read our five times salah, in the masjid with takbir ula. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that person who reads this Isha salah to Jamaat, that person who reads this Isha salah, he gets the reward of spending half the night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person who reads the Fajr salat, he gets the reward of the other half of the night. In other words, that person who reads Isha Salatul Jamaat and reads the Fajr Salatul Jamaat, he gets a reward of spending the entire night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bashir al-Masha'in fi dhulmi ila al-masajid bin nur ritam yawm al-qiyamah. Give glad tidings to those who walk to the masjid in the hours of darkness, Maghrib time, Isha time, especially Isha time and Fajr time. Those who walk to the masjid, they will get complete and perfect nur on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all make this intention, inshallah, that those that we shall read our five times salah in the masjid. All of our vehicles niyat, inshallah. And the woman folk at home, they should perform the salah on time, at home. Encourage our young children from small, that they should start reading the salah at home. And when they are able to, look after themselves and keep the sanctity of the masjid in mind, then let us start bringing them to the masjid. How unfortunate we see that a person got sons at home, 15 years, 16 years, 18 years old, and he is regularly in a masjid, but his sons are nowhere to be seen in the masjid. Let us make this habit from small. Bring our children, our sons with us, once they are 7 years, 10 years old, where they are able to keep the sanctity of the masjid, and able to respect the masjid, then let us bring our sons with us to the masjid, so that they become habitual of performing the fajr salah in the masjid of takbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.